In Ashland, Oregon, there's a nondescript 40,000 square foot building that houses a very important laboratory, the only forensics lab in the world that investigates crimes against animals. Now, if you're wondering why animals need a forensics lab, consider this. The world trade in illegal wildlife is a $19 billion business, the fourth largest illegal industry worldwide, right behind narcotics, counterfeiting, and human trafficking. And more than 150 countries signed on to the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species send their specimens to Ashland. Ken Goddard is director of the National Fish and Wildlife Forensics Lab in Ashland, Oregon. He's at the studios of Jefferson Public Radio. So, Ken, just give us an idea of what you receive in the mail every day from animal law enforcement around the world.
We never know. It's sort of like a daily Christmas with UPS, FedEx, and the post office. Boxes will come in. Ideally, we know what's coming to us. Every now and then we don't. We got surprised by 7 decomposed skunks one day. We heard about it early because the FedEx pilot had to go into oxygen bringing the box in. We get things decomposed, 18-foot boa constrictor melting in the Everglades, eagles, wolves, cougars for cause of death, pieces, parts, products of animals.
You just open it and there it is. And it's, you know, Christmas, except a very sad one, because we have pictures at hereandnow.org. And it just is, it's a reminder, as the New York Times said, of man's inhumanity to animals. And that's what we read about you in the New York Times Style magazine.
Well, it's quite a place for us. I certainly would be the last one ever asked about style for fashions. We weren't expecting to be there. We're right next to Ringo Starr flashing a peace sign, which we thought was pretty cool.
We thought weird, too. And then we were thinking so many people steal endangered species for clothing, for feathers, for leather, for things like that. So So talk about some of the crimes that are committed and then you're asked to investigate.
Well, a lot of it with the endangered species, part of it is the fact you've got something unique. We actually had a lot of gifts, chatouche shawls, $5,000 shawls made from Tibetan antelopes. It takes 5 to 6 of them to make the shawl. Mm-hmm. It's made from an endangered species. It's a unique gift, and they were made into pajamas. We finally got that stopped. Mm-hmm. There's intrigue with something that's rare. Well, there's medicinal issues, ancient Chinese medicines often made with endangered and threatened species, rhino horn, a whole gamut, tiger blood of things. Part of our problem is to figure out what we've got, what our victim is. Normally, a police crime lab works cases by identifying evidence and trying to link suspect, victim, and crime scene with that evidence. Well, in our case, we have to figure out what our victim is first, and it makes a big difference.
Yeah, because it could come to you in the form of a purse or a musical instrument or, as you just said, a shawl.
Strips of leather for watch bands, meat, blood, hair.
Yeah.
We even had some Bigfoot stuff coming along. Fortunately, it's only illegal to kill Bigfoot in one county of the state of Oregon, so we're pretty much left alone on that.
Well, but you've got high-tech equipment to help you do this. It sounds as serious as it would if it were human crimes. Talk about some of the things. There's a room, for instance. Well, this probably doesn't happen in a human forensics lab, but you have a room where insects eat the flesh and skin off bones.
Yes, our hardworking dermestids. That's their job. They're Mother's Nature's cleanup crew.
They're bugs?
They're bugs. Yeah, their job is to eat after big predators and little predators clean up a kill. These little guys come in and clean up all the rest of blood and tissue. We use them to clean up sets of bones for comparison or maybe to identify what the animal is. Decomposing meat can smell kind of bad, and these guys do get out, chew their way through the seals, and when they were loose in our lab, they'd come up to our about kneecap level and start biting.
Oh, so boy.
We have them sealed away now.
Well, you also have things like the AccuTof dart.
Yes, the dart. Fascinating instrument. It's a mass spectrograph, which identifies chemical compounds, and normally a chemist would have to convert the sample into a liquid or gas and then inject it into the instrument. This instrument has a plasma gas flow going right into the injection port, and we can take a forceps and with a pill stick the pill in that plasma flow. 5 seconds later, we have the pill components up on the screen. We're using that for a wide range of things, including identifying the species source of a wood plank.
And this was fascinating because we forget about endangered hardwood. It can run $25,000 per kilo, And if you get some that's suspected, you can prove its DNA, in effect, with this machine.
Well, we hope to prove its DNA, but it turns out when they mill the wood and kiln dry it, they kill the DNA. What we're using the DART for is going after the oils, the chemical compounds that were made from the tree DNA. There's 150,000 species of trees, which is kind of driving us crazy. But we're focused on the endangered species woods, and we figured out rosewood. We can tell all the different species apart, and we can even figure out what country they came from.
Well, people who are wondering, well, you know, it seems like a lot of work. Is this really important? Although many of us who love animals think it's important to track down criminals who kill them, if in fact it's illegal. But there's a much bigger picture here. There are terrorist organizations making money off these enterprises.
Yes, they are. And the real problem at which you dug at was money, the value of these items or objects or animals. Rhino horns right now are going for between $100,000 to $150,000 per horn. Elephant ivory, $1,000 a pound. That's just too much money, especially in the case of a rhino. I mean, I don't have great hopes that we can preserve them as a species. It's just too much value.
Well, you know, you say that, and elephants too. There's thinking that there may be no more elephants.
It can happen. We're obviously going to a tremendous amount of work to try to stop that. We, the lab, have traveled to Gaborone, Botswana, to help train African rangers from several different countries in working wildlife crime scenes, the elephant and the rhino kills. It's a difficult deal. The elephant is out by itself in a huge area. The poaching tends to occur at night, and the poachers make a run for the country border. How you catch them? Now, what we can do is use some of our technology, collecting blood and tissue samples from the crime scenes. We have the rangers do that. If we can intercept a rhino horn on its way to its buyer, we may be able to link that rhino horn specifically to that kill site. That's where some of our technology would come into play.
Well, your lab also pioneered a way of getting genetic information from a single fish egg. That helped foil caviar smugglers. I mean, do you think – I think it would be very depressing if you thought – if you didn't think you were making some contribution to stopping this.
I have to tell you, when I was in police work, I had a sense that I really wasn't accomplishing much. I was shoveling against the tide. You know, the rapes, robberies, murders, they kept on coming pretty much statistically. Here, I absolutely have a sense that we can make a difference. We can focus in on smuggling groups, poaching groups. We can bring them before courts of law. But ultimately, it becomes education. If we can't educate the buyers, the users, that this is a bad thing to do. I mean, we had people in Asia thinking that the tusk could be extracted like a tooth and the elephant would be just fine. Hmm. Well, that's complete nonsense. You have to actually chop the tusk out of an elephant's skull. You don't do that while the elephant's alive.
Well, working away there in Ashland, Oregon, to solve crimes against animals. Ken Goddard, director of the National Fish and Wildlife Forensics Lab in Ashland, Oregon. Thanks so much.
You're most welcome.